I'm talking today with Chad Kahn, who is the candidate for House District 126. Chad, that's an open seat, one of only two open seats in Harris County. How does that make your race different than some of these others?
Well, let me give you a little background about my race. If you remember 2004, I ran for against Harold Dutton, District 142. And that district, when I was running very clean and a very nice race, and I do not have no campaign manager, I do not have no campaign consultant, I have no any, you know, resources available from the party side. And I came out for almost 23.6% against 26-year incumbent who had been sitting. And for my experience from there, Jerry Brinberg realized that Mr. Kahn, how good job he done in 2004. Soon, this general election finished in 2004, Jerry and me, we have many conversations, many meetings. Even before Ms. Peggy Hamrick, she announced that she going to be running for the Senate District 7 seat. Me and Jerry, we was talking about, you know, in December and January, February and March, that I will be challenging Ms. Peggy Hamrick in general elections. The reason for that, it was we was talking about that because the area northwest or north area, that area had been changing a lot. I have been living this area since 1983, but I moved out from the district in 1992 in north area to south area, where but my business is Thai, my church Thai. A mosque type is still it was in North area, Bemmel, Northeastern area. So I have a long time relationship with the Peggy Hamrick district. And when Jerry and me, we speak about this thing, I sit down with my family and see that what's going on. And I spoke to a lot of my friends. And they told me that, Mr. Kahn, if you run for this district, you're going to be very viable candidate to be able to win this seat as a Democrat. Finally, I made the decision in May, and especially when I made the decision when I find out that Ms. Peggy Hamrick is going to be running for Senate District 7, and this is going to be a more open seat, so it's making me more viable to run for this seat. And that's actually I've been focusing since last October. I've been outreaching all those my friends, family, my groups, that make sure they are all very well supportive of me when I'm running for this campaign. And I have been doing such a great job on that. I have been knocked more than 10,000 houses by myself with people and friends and my community people.
Now, this is a district that, like you know, many of your colleagues running for house seats elsewhere, where there hasn't been a lot of Democratic presence in recent elections. You know, how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, Charles, the problem is that our Democrat people, in my district, I have a lot of Democrat, just like any other district. But problem is this Democrat, they don't come out, they're lazy butt to get out and cast their ballot. And that's the thing, my job is to motivate them. Let them know that I am their brother and I am running for this seat. I need your help. I'm asking your vote. I need to help you. For your educations, for your traffic congestion issues going on in 1960 area. I am going to work with them for their health care issues and environmental issues, and the public safety is one of the biggest thing going on. The safety is a very big issue. People talk about, you know, immigration. Immigration people, out of three, is one person talking to me immigration issue, but mostly people talking to me, number one priority is education, number two is safety in my district.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about those two things. You know, the recent special session was supposed to be about school finance. It really turned more into an issue about property taxes and the new business tax. You yourself are a small businessman. This new business tax that was passed is going to affect you directly. What do you feel about the new business tax, and what do you think should be done to change it in the future?
Charles, let me tell you, I think Republican people, when they did the HB3 bill, they voted as a favor. They really shoot their own foot. a lot of people, business people, they used to be people think the Chambers people, Rotary Club people, they are Republican. When those state legislators, I mean, House District 126 legislator, she voted in favor for HB 3. And when our brothers, Democrats' brother, they oppose, it's only two Republican they are opposed. It was David Riddle and Dwayne Bohag. Otherwise, everybody, on they went down the ticket and favor HB 3 taxes. That's called margin taxes. And it's really going to hurt small businesses. Small businesses, we are a mom-pop company. We already contributing our taxes. And on the top, they are charging us margin taxes. I mean, our bottom line is already too low. We own more than close to 500 or 5,000 businesses. They're going to be contributing more money on the new HB3 for margin taxes to the education funding supposed to be. But those big company, Exxon Mobil or those people, they're doing underground businesses. They are the people that are getting the most benefit. And Republican people need to understand this thing. They are killing small mom-pop business. My business is going to hurt. Real estate business is going to hurt. Doctors, lawyers, everybody going to hurt. Because those taxes is going to be very effective in our bottom line. And we need to do something to, and if I get elected, I really want to reintroduce this bill or amend this bill to make sure that everybody can be treated equally.
How do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Means that the small business or the big business, they should be paying the fair amount of taxes. Because in this HB3 bill, ExxonMobil or those people doing business for underground, they were not effective on this bill. But mostly those people, they are, you know, they have corporations, some other company, or some other state. And they don't pay any taxes here. And they are the people that are getting most benefit. And those people are mom, pop, a company. We are going to be more effective. And we are the bottom line for the economy in this great state. We are the people. We employ people. We are the people creating jobs. We are the people providing the tax dollar to the state taxes. And understand that mostly state budget, it's like 60% budget come out from the state taxes, and the 20% budget come out from the property taxes. The other rest of the budget is come out from the small businesses and you know those people that have been doing businesses. So that's the business actually come out for the budget. Now we already contributing before this special session. On the top, you charging us more margin taxes. I mean, this is unfair for small businesses.
Do you think that the benefit of a property tax reduction was worth it?
The Republican people think about that. They did good job. Like Mr. Our Governor Rick Perry said, he's so delighted to sign. I don't know what he's delighted about. I don't see any going to be any benefit. $42 per year. And they're going to be in a hole for 2006 and 2007 special sessions. They're going to be $10 billion hole.
What do you think the legislature needs to do to fill that hole?
We, as a businessman, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not, you know, a politician. I'm a businessman. As a businessman, would I look my balance sheet, my income statement, and from there I work on it. And that's going to be my job. I want to understand with my senior legislators how this balance sheet works, how this income statement works, and how we can be able to help. As a new person in legislators, I really cannot be able to say exactly how it can be fixed, but what I think is can be fixed, we need to be make sure we need to treat everybody equally. Make sure the small businesses, they're paying their part of share. Make sure that big businesses, if they are doing business in taxes, they should be paying the fair amount of taxes in the taxes, not any other state. They need to pay in taxes. So, and we are already charging a tax, you know, on the cigarettes and tobacco things. $1 is going to raise money, according to Mr. Perry. I forgot the amount they said they're going to be raising. Probably we have to find some way to cut our expenses. With any company, if you want to stay in business, first you have to see where is your expenses more higher, where the expenses going, and how we can control those expenses. We do not need to control the expenses from that we already cut it in 2003 sessions. We already cut our school budget before. We have $8.7 billion surplus sitting there with that cut. We not have been untouched those surplus. We need to utilize the surplus, and we need to make those education funding properly. We need to make sure we can be able to get better teacher salary to the teachers, because we are our nations are number 40 rank. We need to be on top 10 rank. Our children are very important for us. Our teachers are very important for us. Our administration people, they are very important for us. Our school board are very important for us. So we need to be make sure as the legislators, our job to this, we can hear them, we can find out what their problem, how we can help them. As a legislator, my job is to outreach those people to find out what I can do for them. That's the biggest thing is the problem. When our legislator, they elected, they when they campaigning, they promise a lot. But when they get elected, they forget what they pledge for. And they are nowhere to be found. They become their own constituent. And their problem become, our problem is not no longer in their problem. Their problem is their problem. And they only listen to the special interest group people. The special interest group people, they have their cell number, they have their home phone number, they can outreach them, but their constituent, they live in the district. A school board people or educator, if they need something from them, they cannot find an appointment from them. And that's the thing is, as a homeowner president, as a water board president, as an EMS director, that's what I've done in the last 12 years, to outreach my people, to find out how I can help. That EMS, I used to belong, I was director there. We was actually work on the volunteer donations. And so today, our building is paid off, our ambulance paid off. So we done those kind of work. As a MUD director, when I become a president for the MUD, my tax was $1.75 per houses. We had only 482 connections. Within 6 years job, I was able to cut my taxes for my MUD to 90 cent per houses, and we bring to 2,500 connections. And on the top, we bring 23% commercial. So those kind of things, you need to see that how you can give benefit to your people. We have those people that live in your district who you're representing. Make sure they need to pay the fair amount tax. They do not need to pay a higher amount tax, but they need to get a good service. And our water quality is one of the best quality by the TCEQ. So those things I have been already done. Already let people know that what I'm capable. I came to Charles in this country 23 years ago for education. I had nothing. Today, I'm a successful businessman. And I am married, I have two children, and this country, this great state gave me a lot. And that reason I have been last 12 years devoting my time to this great state. I have been volunteer for different organizations to give my time. And I think that every citizen in this in the country, they should do the same thing what I'm doing, to outreach people and try to resolve problems. We need to be more united than fighting. We should not worry about the party line. We should worry about what people need. Doesn't matter who you are, Republican, Democrat, first you are American.
Since you brought up the subject, as someone who is an immigrant, what is your opinion of the current immigration debate? And what, if anything, do you think the legislature should be doing with that?
Charles, as a professional travel agent, I've never seen any country in the world you can fly without passport, or you can enter any country without passport. It's very hard for me to make understand America in my travel business. They're going to Mexico or Cayman or Jamaica, they have a driving license and they want to fly without birth certificate. And I have to explain to them, look, Jamaica is a different country, Mexico is a different country. You have to have a passport. Same thing vice versa, Jamaican people coming, you know, without visa or without passport, same thing Spanish people. They're migrating here legally or illegally. It's really surprising me that how this Congress people dealing with this immigration thing. There's a lot of loophole there. We have a lot of good laws, but our people, elected officials, what they pledge for, they're not enforcing those laws. Law is there in the book. We need to enforce. I am completely in favor that anybody enter in great state of Texas or great country of United States of America, they should become legally. Doesn't matter, because you have to be respect the country. Regarding about the debate about legaling or illegaling things, I think those people that are living in this country, they have been contributing in this country for different resources. They have their family here. They came as our guest. We are the lawmaker, or our lawmaker, they allow them to come in this country and they have been living here. We should allow them to stay here, and we should provide them a legal documentation so they can contribute more legally taxes for this great state. But anybody is criminal, they have a criminal record, or they have been stopped as a criminal activities, they should be immediately deported. Let me give you an example. In France, Germany, even you are on visit visa or your business visa or your employment visa, and if you do any crime on that country, immediately they revoke your visa and your passport and they send back to you where you come from.
Okay. The other issue you talked about earlier was is crime. What are you hearing from people in your district, and what do you believe the legislature should be doing about it?
Well, number one thing, Charles, let me give you a little bit of my background again. I finished Sheriff Tommy Thomas Citizen Police Academy alumni in 2001, when September 9/11 happened during that time. And I just finished class with the Precinct 4 Constable Ron Hickman, Citizen Police alumni. And during our class, it was very big concern, all my class fellow. It was safety. People are not feeling safe. We are so much busy watching TV. We are so much busy inside the house. We're not paying attention outside. We're not paying attention to our juniors when they're coming out from school, what they are doing. We think they're in a room, but they're not in the room. They are running the street. We need to have something after hours program for our children. And as a state legislator, if I get elected, that's going to be my goal, is to, because I want to have enough funding available for children after school hours. I want to make sure that criminal should be able to stay in jail. When they're in jail, they should be have some kind of classes to make them better citizen. What I understand and what I speak to people, that people have a small crime for speeding or running a stop sign or those kind of crime they do, and they go jail. When they come out from jail, they become a more higher or more bigger criminal, because they can contact with other criminals, they get more criminal minded. They think the police department or our justice system do not treat them fairly, so they want to get back. Those kind of activities going on. Let me give you an example. 2 weeks ago, on 16,000 that Stugan airline, one of his store clerk, he got shot. He's from my country, that store clerk. He was working, he was making his living. He was not bothering nobody. And those teenagers, 17 years old, they came and they robbed him and they shoot him at gunpoint. Those kind of things we are worried about. Our seniors, I spoke to a lot of seniors. Mr. White, I spoke to him 2 weeks ago. He told me that he used to be able to walk in Greenwood subdivision in the evening time. Now he's so scared to walk because people are look so apprehensive. He was walking one day and somebody stopped him and they took his watch from his wrist and they asked his wallet. He do not have a wallet, but he only had a watch. So they took his watch and they shoved him. So those kind of things, the problem we are facing. My goal is if I get elected, I want to make sure I can able to work our police department, constable, sheriff department, to make sure they have the right resources, make sure they have the right funding, make sure they have enough police officer on the street, so we can provide a safety to our children, our seniors, and our females, when they're going shopping, they can feel more comfortable in the shopping center and those area. So that's going to be my goal, is going to be to make sure I can outreach my law enforcement to find out what I can do for them as a legislator. And from there I can go.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chad Kahn, talking with me today. Good luck with your campaign.
Thank you.